Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We are, again, the penultimate Sunday of the church year. At the end of the church year, we hear all of these readings and teachings about the great day of the Lord and the coming judgment and all of that. And we can take it in a couple of ways. One is we can be alarmed and terrified and frightened, or we can look to that day as a day of the coming of Jesus and the peace that it brings. So our readings today kind of combine the two. But I want to focus on Jesus's parable in Matthew 25. And this whole section from Matthew 24 through Matthew 25 is Jesus teaching his disciples on the Mount of Olives. And it begins in verse 3 of chapter 24, where he says, "As he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, 'Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the close of the age?'" The first thing that Jesus responds to them with is, don't let anyone mislead you, because there will be those who try. So Jesus then proceeds to teach them in both plain words and in parables what the kingdom of heaven and that last day will look like. Today's parable, the kingdom of heaven will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. We've heard this parable before, many of us, and there's another reading where the parable is told in a similar way, where each person, each servant gets the same amount and they do different things with them. And here, this parable, they get different amounts, as he says, each according to his ability. And we can be distracted by a couple of the things in this parable, and I want to clear that before we go on too far. One of the things that we want to be clear on is this is a kingdom of heaven parable. We've been talking about these since the beginning of Pentecost, and the kingdom of heaven is like, so the reign and rule of God in Christ through the Holy Spirit is like this. Jesus is painting a word picture to say that this is what the kingdom of heaven looks like. This is the reign and rule of God in Christ through the Holy Spirit and the presence of Jesus. This is what it looks like. Because it's hard for us to comprehend even some of the smaller things of the kingdom of God. We struggle with the immensity of God and his kingdom and how that all works. And so these parables help us to understand a little bit of how God is at work. The kingdom of heaven parable is not about the servants. I want to say that because sometimes we can get distracted by that. The kingdom of heaven doesn't focus on the servants. Although they are part of the parable, and the talents that they're given are used in different ways, the focus is not on the servants. So one of our issues when we hear parables like this is to think, all right, which servant am I? Am I the servant with 10 talents? Am I the servant with 2 talents? The 5-talent servant? Am I the servant with 1? Which servant am I? Well, let's just put that to rest. That's not what this is about. So we're not going to worry about which servant you are. Because in all reality, we are all of them, right? The servant image is one that Jesus uses to sort of display humanity. So the focus isn't on the servants. The focus is on the master, who is God. The other distraction that we can get into what are the talents? Because we want to label it and we want to say, well, the talents are this and that. The talents are these particular things of God that he gives to. The talents, in all reality, once again, in the story, are simply that. They're just they're financial in the story. Not talents as in gifts and talents and ability to play the guitar or something. Not that. They're simply in the story that Jesus tells, they are financial talents. It's a coin. Okay, that's all it is. So we don't want to dwell wondering, well, am I using my talents am I doing this with, it's not about you. So we're going to kind of go past that, lay that to rest. We're going to focus on what this parable is about. Jesus is telling these parables as his disciples have asked him, what are the last days going to be like? How are we going to know what these last days are going to be like? Because there's going to be a lot of people talking about a lot of stuff about the way things are going in the world, and we could be distracted. We could be confused. We could be wondering, wandering, going off the deep end. And Jesus says, don't let people lead you astray. It's going to be like this. The reign and rule of God in Christ through the Holy Spirit on the last day is going to look like this. This is how it works. Are we all right? Okay. All right. Just want to be sure. So the focus is on the man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. So this is painting a picture of the way God works. Listen to the language that Jesus uses. So the man, the master, is going on a journey, and he entrusts to these servants his property. That's a pretty important thing. He's not just giving it to anybody, and he's not just, you know, sort of throwing it out there for he's entrusting his property to the servants. God, as described in this parable, is a trusting, faithful, gift-giving God. He's a gracious God. He's a God who loves to give to his servants, to give to his people. He loves to do that. This is who God is. He's a gift-giving God. He entrusts his property to his people. He entrusts his word to his church. He entrusts his sacrament into the hands of this guy. He entrusts it to all of these kinds of things. God is a gracious and giving God. And on that last day, he's going to come back. It says he returns, and he's going to be, again, a gracious and giving God. He is a trusting God, a faithful God. So as this parable unfolds, we see a God who shows up. He doesn't leave his people to whatever devices. He shows up with his people. And as he comes back, it says, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So the master is going to return from his long journey. We don't know where that journey was. It's not the issue. It's just been a long time since the master has been there. Now remember, Jesus is talking about the last days. So whose return is he talking about for us as we're hearing this? He's talking about his return. So when Jesus comes back, when the kingdom of heaven is realized in all of its glory, this is what it's going to look like. He says to the one servant and the other servant, both at the same words, he says to the servants who had 5 and 2 talents, well done, good and faithful servants. Well done, good and faithful servants. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. What beautiful words from the kingdom of heaven. What beautiful words from God, who is that trusting and gracious and faithful God. You have been faithful with what I've given you. I've entrusted to you my property, and you have done wonderful things with it. It has grown greatly over the centuries. It has expanded beyond the borders of just that area in the Middle East. It has gone further and farther than any message has gone, and it has reached the ears of all of those who needed to hear it. Well done, good and faithful servants. I entrusted you with a little, and you have been good with it. So then I will set you over much. And these words, enter into the joy of your master. He's a joyful God, rejoicing in his people. Now, what's the problem in this parable? The problem is the misunderstanding of who God is. Why did the one servant hide the money? Why did he dig it and put it in the ground? Because he was afraid. He didn't know the good and gracious God. He didn't understand the faithful and trusting God. He didn't understand the good, gift-giving, joyful God. He was afraid. And he says, I knew you to be a hard man, and you take what wasn't yours, and you get the seed where you didn't sow it, you reap where you didn't sow, all of these horrible things, and I believed you were destructive. He doesn't know the gracious God. See, the issue with the parable is this misunderstanding of who God is. Now, you hear all the time, I'm sure, because I'm on social media too, and you hear it not only there, but in all of the different places about how horrible things are going to be and how God is so angry with his creation and so mad at how bad stuff has been. So I ask, is that your God? Is your God the God of wrath, punishment, anger, destruction? Is he looking at everything you do and everything you say and everything you think and going, I can't wait. I can't wait till I can crush that person. Because that's the God you hear about. That's the God of those who stand on the street corner and tell you how horrible you are and what an evil person you are no matter what you do. And those who are going to be burning in hell, and they'll make a list of all the people they think are going to end up there. Is that your God? Because if that's your God, then yes, you'll bury things and you'll say, I am not even going to try, because if I make a single mistake, I'm doomed. But God is a gracious God. He's a giving God. He gave so much, and this is the classic demonstration of the gracious God and how much he loved his creation that he sent his son Jesus to die for it. He sent his son Jesus into the world to save the world, not condemn the world. Could he condemn the world? Absolutely, he's God. But that's not who he is. He is a gracious, giving, loving, joyful, praising God. He loves his creation. He loves his creatures, you and I. He loves his creatures so much that, once again, we see it on the cross. The love of God displayed in his son Jesus and what he did for you and for me. He's a good and gracious God. And he doesn't even leave us at that and say, well, you got 2,000 years to think about it. No, he gives us the supper. He gives us the supper where he once again is gracious and gift-giving. His body and blood given and shed for you. Rich in forgiveness and grace. That is our God. That is the kingdom of heaven. That is the reign and rule of God in Christ. So for those who worry, don't worry. I know it's easier said than done. However, God gives his gracious gifts to us every single day. We say in our small catechism that it's in the church that he daily and richly forgives us our sins and the sins of all believers. Daily and richly? It's not a wrathful God. It's a gracious God. a loving God, a joyful God. Amen. Now may the peace that is ours in Christ guard our hearts and minds always in the one true faith to life everlasting. Amen.